So glad to be here, and I want to thank the Lord and Dr. Weaver for this opportunity, and every one of you for a wonderful week and allowing me to be here with you. God has used this week greatly in my heart, and as I've been sitting here, my heart burns for Africa, and I want to share with you a message that God gave me. And I'll beg your patience. My English is kind of Mexican, African, American English. But I have a message to share with you tonight. And please come with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Pastor Stephen Volante is my pastor, and I want to thank you for loving him. And thank you for coming to Africa to visit the ministry. And every one of you that have prayed for him and made him stronger, have made stronger every one of us that serve beside him. Thank you for that. Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll read verses 1 to verse 10. And if you stand with me to read this portion of the scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Please follow me with your sight. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell these people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you once again, bless us tonight. We've heard preaching this week, and our hearts have been moved when we hear of the need of millions of people to hear the gospel. Father, once again, bless your word and speak unto our hearts. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This passage is a very well-known passage among believers. And verse 8 especially is one of those verses that is used in many conferences, at least in Mexico. When Isaiah said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And this we read the commission of the prophet to deliver a message, God's message. And we read here, when we read, we are amazed to hear how Isaiah lift up his hand and said, God, I am here. If you are going to use someone, do not pass me by. You use me, God. But before we arrive to that verse, we read what happened before that. Dear believers, we have a great task before us. billions of people waiting for someone to come and tell them that Jesus Christ has power to save. When I sit here, let me share something with you. I arrived to the United States, and the lady that received me to your nation was a Cuban. In my own language, she said, "Bienvenido a los Estados Unidos." From there, I passed to the next man that was checking my passport, and he is from India. From there, the third man was from Puerto Rico. And every person I've met is a person that has a soul, and we need to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you before I continue, thank you for giving unto the Lord. I am a fruit of missions. An American missionary led me to Christ 15 years ago in Mexico City. A man with a different hair, color of his hair, with green eyes and with a different accent, came to my house and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with my family. We were bound to marry. We were Catholics. We were thinking we'll go to heaven because we were attending a church and we were doing good works, till he came and told us that Christ died at the cross and has power to save, and we believed the message and we got saved. Now I have a responsibility. I come from Mexico City, over 30 million of people. Many people have asked me, "Miguel, why didn't you stay at Mexico City? Don't you love your people?" But let me tell you, God loves the world, and we must reach the world in our generation. Before we come and say, "God, we will do it, we will go," something happened here. And Isaiah in verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And tonight, dear believers, I want to encourage you not to lose the right vision of God. Your nation has been greatly used. Through the week, I've been sitting here every service thanking for your nation, for sending your sons, for sending your daughters, for sacrificing, for training men unto all the world, including my people. Americans have died in my nation. They have fallen sick with our food. They have a struggle with our culture. But thousands of people have been saved for the great sacrifice that you have been doing in your nation. May God richly bless you. And tonight I cry out, do not lose the vision for who you are serving. You are serving the King of Kings. You are serving the great God, the great Jehovah. Keep your vision of who you are serving today. And the Bible says that Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. Before someone will come and surrender, before we are faithful to our faith promise offering, before we will pray for missions, we need to have the right vision of who God is. Because when we lose the vision of the great God that we serve, then we will think is not worthy of what we are doing. Then it won't be any longer worthy to sending our sons to the mission field. Then it won't be worthy to filling a card to promise for a year faithfulness unto the Lord. Then it won't be worthy spending time praying for the nations of this world and labors to be sent unto the harvest. Then it won't be worthy anymore serving Him. But Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train, the Bible says, filled the temple. In Ghana, we have kings, as those of you that visited Ghana. The first time I visited Ghana in 2001, I went to visit Pastor Stephen. And I arrived, and he told me one day, "Miguel, I need to take you to the chief of Techiman, the king of Techiman, and I need to introduce you to him, and he needs to give you the welcome, and he needs to let us know that he will receive you." And he told me, "Miguel, everything what we tell you, do it. If we walk, you walk with us. If we sit, you sit with us. If we talk, you wait till we tell you, you talk." And I said, "Amen. That sounds great." And at that time, I didn't understand much English. I just knew how to say hi, goodbye, and I'm hungry. So I didn't know, and I understood something like Pastor was telling me, "Miguel, if you do something wrong, he will kill you." I was very afraid. That time came and I was following and Pastor Samuel and all the pastors, and I was with them, and everything what they were doing when they were walking, I was walking. When they were sitting down, I was sitting down. I was just looking straight. I just knew I cannot look straight to the eyes of the chief. I'm going to get in trouble. He is the chief. He is in charge, and I'm a visitor, and I was there obeying all the rules, everything they asked me to. I was just trying to honor the king and do not disobey him. Our King is the King of Kings. And He is to be obeyed. And at His command, we are to surrender all what we have, because He is the one that said, "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all creatures." And so many times, we struggle to obey because we have lost the vision of who He is. He was sitting in His throne, high and lifted up above everything and above everyone, above His own creation. No one is like Him. He's not even close to Him. And these seraphims were flying from one side to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God of hosts, the great Jehovah, the self-existent." These angels were covering with two wings their faces and with two wings their legs, unworthy of being in the presence of a holy God. And Isaiah stood in front of Him and he said, "I am undone." When we have the right vision of who God is, we will have the right vision of who we are. We are saved by grace. What a great privilege to serve Him. What a great privilege to be His children. What a great privilege that we have been entrusted with the everlasting gospel, the message that transforms lives, the message that saves to whosoever believes. We need to have the right vision of God, because that will affect the right vision of who we are. In verse 5, he said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When we have the right vision of God, but dear believers, when we walk far from God, we can't see Him as He is, right? We have a team that came over to visit our city, and we have in Cape Coast hanging bridges. That's how they are called. They are the second or third higher hanging bridges. They just have bridges in very tall trees, and you go there and you walk, and it's very high. And I remember the team came, and I told one of the guys there, I said, "We're going to go tomorrow. Are you ready?" And he pulled out his chest and he said, "I'm ready. I flew in an airplane. How can I be afraid of the hanging bridges?" And he was very bold till we arrived there. He's tall, and the ropes that protect you are very low. He was walking and shaking as he was walking. But it wasn't until he was there. And it's not till we are in his presence that we acknowledge how great he is. We serve a great God. Do not lose the vision of who do we serve. When God called me, they said, "It's no time for Mexico." I visited churches and pastors who told me, "Brother Miguel, where are you going? Africa?" Many told me, "Do you know we don't have dollars?" He said, "Whose Mexicans are going to the mission field? It's no time for us. We don't have." Oh, we have a great God. A pastor that told me, "Miguel, you'll never make it." Last year he called me and said, "Brother, when can you come and introduce your ministry to our church? We want to help you." After 7 years. Walk close with God and you will see who He is. You will have the right vision of who we are. And then that's when we read in verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? God sent an angel and clean Isaiah when he said, God, I am a dead man. I've seen you. I've seen the great Jehovah. I am unworthy. And he fell on his ground. Isaiah never came and said, God, do you know me? I'm the great Isaiah. I am a prophet. Do you want to take a pig with me? He fell down and said, God, you are so great. And I am so small than God. And when we realize who we are, God can use us greatly. And then when we have the right vision of who we are, we need to keep the right vision of the great work that we have. Keep the right vision of God. Keep the right vision of yourself. And keep the right vision of the need of preaching the gospel to all creatures. God says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Do not lose the vision of the world and the millions of souls that are dying. When I travel and every time we go to a different places in Ghana, when I go into Pastor Steve's place, we pass village after village and city after city, and I wonder who is preaching at this place, who is preaching to these people, who is reaching the fishermen, who is reaching the deep areas in Ghana. And when we travel to North Africa with Pastor Steve to Burkina Faso and to Niger, and we see the great need of millions of souls, and God is calling for laborers today. My dear believers, let's hear the calling of God today and keep the right vision of the great work that we have ahead of us. You've heard many missionaries telling you that when you reach heaven, someone from the mission field will come and greet you and tell you thank you. But let us not wait till heaven. I tell you thank you. I was led to Christ by an American missionary with Mount Abiding Missions. Thank you for giving unto the Lord. And maybe you never met Mexicans, but there's going to be Mexicans in heaven. Maybe you've never gone to Ghana, some have the privilege, but I'm telling you, it's going to be Ghanaians in heaven. It's going to be people from Mexico City. But they will be different, amen? And don't lose the vision of the work and the mission field and the billions of souls that are in need of the gospel. Let me finish here. In our city, we have a castle. That castle is the place where thousands of slaves from Africa were bringing into the America. The Americas, that's how they call it. And when you go to the castle, it's only 5 minutes away from where we live. You go to the castle and they take you in a tour and they show you the place where the slaves were kept. They take you under the stairs to a dark, small room where hundreds of people from all Africa were kept. And sometimes it will be sicknesses that will kill all of them. They will just throw them into the ocean and they will bring more. And they will keep them there till one of those big ships will arrive, some of them with the name of Liberty, to take them, for them never to be back in Africa. When the trip was ready to leave, they will prepare them and they will take the slaves under the castle. There's a great tunnel. And they will walk all the way under till they will reach a door. When you go there, it says the door of no return. The slaves knew that when they crossed that door, they will never be back. They knew that if the day arrives and they will cross, they will go into the ship and they will never be back. Maybe they will die on the way, or they will die in the place where they were going to be. And sometimes they will keep some of the slaves to serve in the castle. And they will explain you when you visit there that they will stand there to look those that they loved walk through that tunnel till they arrive the door of no return. Every time they tried to do something for them, they got killed. And today there's a door of no return for thousands of souls. There's only one place, dear believers, we cannot send missionaries, and that is to hell. we can't bring them back. The souls that are there, we cannot do anything for them. We cannot go. And we read that in the scripture, and that man crying out, and the only thing he could say is, send someone to my five brothers that they may not come to this place. There was nothing to be done for the soul of that man. He's been for so many years burning there, and he will be burning for the rest of eternity. My dear believers, pastors have stood here in this pulpit for years crying out for the souls of men. Hear the calling of God. Because when they cross the door of no return, there's nothing else we can do for them. Do not lose your vision of the harvest. There is much to be done. Keep faithful, and thank you for giving unto the Lord. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.